I urge people not to share or engage with that speculation. It's unhelpful. It doesn't aid our investigation. And particularly, it's distressing to the family and friends of Miss Widdicombe. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, as everybody English watching will know, everyone British watching will know, and as Americans and other people around the world might not know, something quite serious happened in the UK on the 8th of July. And that is that the former Conservative government minister and shadow Home Secretary and later Brexit Party member of the European Parliament and celebrity based around appearances on Strictly Come Dancing and various documentaries, Anne Widdicombe, was, it seems, murdered. We don't know who did it yet, although there is a suspect who is under arrest. We don't know what the motive is, although obviously she was a very outspoken member of Parliament in terms of being anti-trans, anti-gay, and anti-abortion. She had highly conservative views, and she was a highly committed Catholic who converted to Catholicism in 1993 from Anglicanism because of her objection to them ordaining female priests. And she was a kind of much-loved, eccentric, I mean, this term is now apparently considered offensive, I don't know why, but the kind of eccentric spinster aunt of the nation. She never married, she wouldn't talk about her private life, she didn't have any children, and she lived alone in an isolated house in rural Devon, and she was found murdered. And today I want to talk about the police reaction to this, because the police reaction is very interesting, and the police reaction is betokens, I think, the feminization of society. And that's why it sits so badly with so many of us that are of a sort of a conservative bent that don't like the current way society is. It's a highly, highly feminine reaction. And that's what I want to look at. Before I do that, could you do me a favor? Could you please, please, please subscribe? Could you subscribe on YouTube, particularly leave a like, leave a comment, hit the bell button for the algorithm? And could you subscribe on my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most based stuff I don't put on YouTube, in-person interviews, vlogs, blogs, films I make. And if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. So I want to look at this feminization notion, how it's reflected here. And just the dishonesty of it. In my experience, normally men say what they mean to a much greater extent than women. It happens to me again and again. I'll be at a party and the female I'm with, my wife or whatever, will say, "Well, I think we'd better go now." And I said, "Well, why would we go? What's the problem? No, let's go. Let's go." And of course, she's noticed that there's some problem in the room. She's understood the atmosphere of the room. And before long, the couple that are hosting the party are having a massive argument and are at each other's throats. And she's realised this before, while I have. But she won't directly say to me what it is that is the reason why we should go. I think we should go now. Yeah, it's getting rather late. They're not clear. They don't say what they mean. And I think we see, and they use language to a greater extent to kind of manipulate and to subtly get what they want. And I suppose this is a consequence of being physically weaker, and so whatever, you have to be good with language, you have to be socially skilled in a way that men don't have to be in order to get by. And so if we have a look at this, I urge people not to share or engage with this speculation. Well, what's wrong with speculation? Why shouldn't people speculate? There's been a terrible, newsworthy tragedy of a much-loved national treasure of a figure, this eccentric old lady that says what she means and is blunt and direct and who people like. Why shouldn't we speculate? And, of course, the reason that they don't want us to speculate is because they are concerned that it will have political consequences. They are concerned that if we speculate, by which we mean, you know, it's not even insane speculation, is it? It's coming up with hypotheses based on the available information. And the police are the source of the available information. So if they haven't given us enough information, and they took ages to release the information, for example, of an image of this guy, which is blurred out, putting a sort of a large pole in his car and driving 270 miles or whatever it is from Rotherham to Devon where he apparently murdered Anne Widdecombe, and then she was not found for 24 hours after she was murdered, or something along these lines. If this is the case, then why not just say so? Why not just? One of the things they did was they immediately announced that the first person they arrested and then released, and the second person they arrested was white. Again, to sort of calm public tensions. So why not just say that's why? Please don't speculate about it, because it might lead to speculation, and this is what they're concerned about, that this was a political killing, that she was murdered because of her right-wing views, and therefore it will further polarise society and lead to the possibility of danger and deepen us into this proto-civil war that we seem to be in the UK. That's why they don't want us to speculate. They don't want us to speculate because they are concerned that it will we have a divided society, basically between two sides that despise each other and don't trust each other, and they're concerned that this will make things even worse. They're also concerned in that half of the society, the right-wing half of the society, now don't trust the police because of the Henry Novak lies, where they said, and lack of respect, where they said, he said he's been stabbed, I don't think you have been, mate. And various other occasions of two-tier policing, this will make that kind of tension worse as well. But ironically, they are making it worse by not being honest. So by trying to stop it from getting worse, they are not being honest and they are making it worse. Now, it's unhelpful. What does that mean? I used to hear that phrase a lot when I did field work on the Christian Union, which is this fundamentalist evangelical student group at the UK universities. People would be talking whatever. Is this helpful? Is this helpful? And what they mean is it helpful to the assumed shared mission that we have? And that shared mission is to bring Christ to the non-believer and to maintain as Christians those who are already Christians. That's what they mean. Is it helpful to that? But of course, they don't say that. They just say, is this helpful? And there's ambiguity. And so they can't be accused of being obsessed with proselytizing and obsessed with making people Christian. But at the same time, they kind of are. And they're hinting at it in this feminine way, not being clear, not being direct. Is this helpful? What does he mean by this? He means, is it helpful to the assumed shared societal desire to keep the peace, to make sure there aren't tensions, to make sure our communities and our NHS continue roughly functioning and roughly getting along? That's what he means. That's what he's saying. But he can't directly say it because then he will be accused of being woke and left wing and whatever. But he wants to kind of appeal in general to those that might on some level have a subconscious desire to conform to the general sort of societal ideology, that you are not being helpful to our mission, our evangelical ideological mission to maintain a woke left wing society and to stop there being tensions with the right that might bring down that society. So again, unclear, manipulative way of talking. It doesn't aid our investigation. Well, that assumes that all kinds of things that wouldn't be accepted by those on the right, that we want to aid his investigation, that we assume he will carry out a competent investigation, that we assume he will carry out an honest investigation, that we assume it won't be a corrupt investigation, that we assume the investigation won't suppress important points for the good of woke and the good of the good of the current ideology. But so it's clear what he means. It's not clear. It's subtly saying, again, join me, fellow woke and semi-woke people, in helping us with our investigation. It's a subtle way of conveying what he thinks. And finally, and most manipulatively of all, and it's particularly distressing to the family and friends of Miss Widdecombe. Now, don't get me wrong, I liked Anne Widdecombe. In January 2022, I was on a sort of private-based Zoom call with Anne Widdecombe. I chatted to Anne Widdecombe on this Zoom call. I asked her why in 2001, when William Hague lost the election, she didn't stand to be leader of the Conservative Party, because I think she should have done, because I think she would have made a jolly good leader of the Conservative Party. And she had a lot of support among members such as myself of the Conservative Party at the time. We wanted Anne Widdecombe to lead the Conservative Party, but she didn't have enough support among the members of Parliament, who were the people that were very, you had to get through the voting with members of Parliament first. And she just didn't have enough support. And she was saying, yeah, I think they just thought I was odd. And she was very sporting. And at the end of it, she's like, right, chaps, is that okay? We've got everything we want. You know, she was a really, really good laugh. She was, a thoughtful kind of person, and I liked her. But from various things that I have read about other people that knew her, she was very, very political, very, very obsessed with politics, and very little else, and wasn't that interested in much else. And there's a degree to which she didn't really have many friends. She didn't have many friends. And her family was obviously very limited. She was unmarried. She didn't have children. So her family was her nephew, Roger, who is a vicar, and then a nephew called Sean, who was in the news in about the year 2000 because he was a drug addict and he took cocaine and cannabis. And he told the News of the World that she helped him to get over his drug problem, and he was made bankrupt in 2006, and he had a company that installed heating. And I think he has some children. And then she has a niece called Fiona. So that's the family. So it's not, I don't get the impression she would have been particularly close to this family either. And so the idea that the family, the fact that it upsets the family is a problem is, well, I don't mean to say, yeah, nobody wants to upset the family, but realistically, they weren't particularly close to her. They weren't her children or grandchildren or anything like that. So how upset are they realistically going to be? I don't think that's good enough. I don't think that's acceptable to try to argue over the fact. It's highly manipulative. It's a way of shutting people down, of making them feel guilty, of making them feel bad for engaging in reasonable discussion of what might have happened, that it might hurt the feelings of the family. Well, the fact that she, what about her friends? Well, there are plenty of people that have come out in the newspapers or whatever that knew her, who were kind of her friends. What about them? It doesn't upset them. They want to engage. There was something that was reported in the Daily Mail that high-level sources have said that the family were uncomfortable with Nigel Farage going and laying flowers down where she was killed. Who are these high-level sources? The vicar, the man's, the her brother, her nephew is a vicar. He's a public figure. He's the vicar of a church in Cheltenham. Ring him up and ask him what he thinks. Who are these high-level sources? It's outrageous. It's just the government nudge unit trying being concerned that the political capital will be made of this because a prominent right-wing person has been potentially assassinated, and so they're trying to shut everything down and stop people from talking about it and stop people on the right from publicly being upset about it, and because they're concerned that it damages the unity of the woke society and it damages unity in general. How dare they say high-level sources say that the family are uncomfortable with Nigel Farage going and laying flowers? This guy knew her relatively well. They were a member of the same political party. They worked together. Why on earth shouldn't he go and do that in a personal capacity, let alone in a political capacity? So it's using the concept of her having a family that might be upset to shut down things they don't want. They don't want this to act basically as a unity call, as a rallying point for people on the right to think we are under attack from people on the left. And the laying of flowers and the emotion continuing and the emotion flowing to unify people on the right and to make us feel that we're under attack and to make us feel that one of our own has been killed. And they don't want that. They want to shut that because that's bad for them, that there's unity among their opponents. And so they want to shut it down by saying, oh, you're upsetting the family. There is no evidence that they're upsetting the family. If it's upsetting the family, then let the family come out and say so. But they haven't. They haven't come out and said so. Instead, high-level sources, i.e. the government nudge unit, have decided that they should say so and have fed that to the newspapers. So it's highly, highly emotionally manipulative. And the whole notion that it will upset the family is putting harm avoidance above free speech. Well, I don't think Anne Widdecombe wouldn't have wanted that. Anne Widdecombe was a conservative. Anne Widdecombe was highly pro-free speech. She would have put free speech above harm avoidance. So it's not doing what Anne Widdecombe would have wanted. No way. It's highly manipulative, anti-free speech to say that it will upset the family. So we should not accept it. Another thing is, it's the assumption that, it's another female idea, women tend to have in small groups where they're very close to each other and they share lots of personal information because what they're looking for in a friend is a potential alloparent for their children. Whereas men make larger groups, and so they don't share lots of personal information. It's about being in an army, and so if anything, you shouldn't share vulnerability. So it's that assumption as well, that it's the small group, it's the family, that's what matters. Well, what about the response of the larger group? What about the larger group that she was part of, the right, conservatives, the broader society? Don't they have a right to be upset and to want to know what's going on. So again, highly, highly manipulative, feminine way of doing things. And also just putting feelings above the truth, just above the truth. I mean, the police are basically lying. When the police say things like, well, there's no evidence of a terrorist motive. Well, they haven't interrogated him yet, as far as we know. So how do they know why? They don't know what his motive is. So they're saying there's no evidence for terrorist motive or there's no evidence for political motive because they want to calm things down. They want to keep things calm. But they're lying. How do they know? How can they possibly know what this person's motivation was? So it's just a lying. It's putting unity and everyone feeling okay and things not feeling unpleasant above the truth. The reality is they are speculating by saying that there's no evidence of a political. They don't know what this person's motive is. They haven't properly and fully interrogated them yet. They cannot possibly know. So this is why the response to Anne Widdecombe's very appalling death. I mean, it's appalling. The symbolism of this, the maiden auntie that doesn't really like talking about sex or cry or you know, whatever, anything complicated or anything controversial, but comes into her own at Christmas and whatever, and is there when you need her. The nation's maiden auntie has been killed, and they don't want us to talk about why. And I think we should talk about why. And hopefully in the coming weeks, the police will be shown to be the liars that we know they are, and the enforcers of the regime, the woke regime that they know we are, and it will come to light what exactly has happened. So anyway, rest in peace, Anne. I hope this is a bit of interest, and tally-ho, and goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?